A lesson from the book of Revelation. In those days, I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne, saying, Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away. And he who sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not, on account of the crowd, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must stay in your house today. So he made haste and came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded any one of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Saving words of the gospel. Well, first of all, I rearranged things in here a little bit. I'm trying to do something with the light, and I don't know. I think I maybe failed. I've got it on the side here so that it illuminates the altar pretty well, but I think I might be in relative darkness according to all the way I have the light on my page here. In any event, today is the feast of the dedication of the churches of St. Peter and Paul. Great places of Christendom, of course, the places of the martyrdom of Saints Peter and Paul. At St. Peter's, we celebrate some of the greatest feasts. There's a Roman station at St. Peter's Basilica 14 times, and there's a station at St. Paul's 4 times. The ancient basilica, old St. Peter's, was demolished, and the new little chapel on the hill, as I call it, was built and completed and consecrated in 1626 by Pope Urban VIII. And in 1823, the fire took the ancient basilica of St. Paul that had been built at the time of Constantine, as was the first basilica of St. Peter. And offerings came in from all over the world to rebuild it. Speaking of offerings coming in from all over the world, today I'm trying to help take up a collection for the burial of a poor man, a beggar in Rome, who had been very much at my adoptive parish church in Rome, Santissima Trinità dei Pellegrini. So if you could just take a look at the blog and maybe participate in that, I'd be much obliged. In any event, each church has its own feast day. Each church has its own birthday, as it were, either in honor of its patron saint or the mystery of its dedication, the day it was consecrated. And the consecration of a church is a very long ceremony, and it's very mysterious. And there are many exorcisms. First of all, the church is exorcised outside, and then it's blessed. And three times you go around the church. First in one way, then again in that way, and then the third time in the opposite direction. Just as you will see during a mass when incense is used, when the priest goes around with the incense over the offerings. Now, this is a very important thing because there are always purifications to be done before things are blessed or consecrated. This is one of the reasons why in the older form of Mass, the priest says two prayers instead of just one, which you do in the new one, because he invokes the image of Isaiah, who's been taken to God in order to receive his office as a prophet. But before he can be made a prophet, he has to have his lips purified. So the angel comes with a burning hot coal and puts it to his lips to purify his lips before he opens his mouth as a prophet. It's the same thing in the older form of Mass. The priest invokes this image to purify before, and then he asks the blessing from God so that he can worthily proclaim the gospel. This is the constant pattern that we have in the Roman Rite. And so the church is purified on the outside and then blessed at three different levels. And then you go inside and you do the whole thing again. There are more exorcisms and you go around the church and then around the opposite way. And then the walls are washed with and anointed with chrism. And the church is given a name and candles are placed on the walls where the place for the chrism was, which is just like a baptism, right? There's the washing. And then you have the anointing with the chrism, and then you put a candle in the hand of the godparents or the person who's being baptized, and a name is given and so forth. So this is the pattern that we have, and we follow this pattern, which is deeply significant, because I think picking up on what the church says it has for the reading today from Luke 19. But the Lord says, today, salvation has come to this house. And so there has to be first a reckoning. So what happens? There's a purification. Zacchaeus, what does he do? He stands up and he tells the Lord what kind of life he has. He reveals himself to him. So in a sense, he, as a son of Abraham, as a Jew who's collaborating with the Romans, needs to make himself right. And so he exposes to the Lord who he is in a manner of purification. And the Lord accepts this and says that today salvation has come to this house. It's the same thing with all of our own revelations and purifications and then the coming of salvation. For example, whenever we have to go to confession, we reveal who we are. And in doing so, we explicitly ask for mercy and forgiveness, and it is always granted. So consider today that each one of us have our own role to play in the church. We are, as we are described in Scripture, as living stones that are built up into a temple, and then the temple itself becomes a place of awe and fascination. And In the intro today for Mass, we hear terribilis est locus iste. This place is terrifying. It's an awesome place because it's filled with God. Well, so too, we are to be temples of the same God. We are to be temples of the Holy Spirit. So we are, in fact, every single one of us, an awesome and fascinating mystery. And we need to treat ourselves that way too, don't we? Not just to look at other people as being that way, but also we have to look at ourselves that way, and also to have, therefore, mercy on ourselves when we need to. And that mercy can include being tough on ourselves and going and seeking forgiveness when we know we need to have it. Well, we do.